Now, I'd like to talk with you about natural remedies in the treatment of disease. You have a book called Natural Remedies. If you will take this little book, I would like to speak with you more definitely about certain special diseases. Some diseases affect the body because of things that we do. Let us take the disease Reye's disease. Reye's disease is a devastating disease of children. How many of you have ever heard of Reye's disease? A few of you have. I wish everyone here had heard of Reye's disease. Reye's disease was only discovered and described for the first time in the early 70s. By the late 70s, we were beginning to understand that Reye's disease was associated with the giving of aspirin in many of the cases in which it developed. I will describe the disease to you. It occurs in children from the ages of 6 to 16, although it has been described as young as 6 months and as old as 26 years. So we can say almost from birth to maybe even up to 30 years, Reye's disease. It's spelled R-E-Y-E-S, named for an Australian investigator. Reye's disease usually begins like this. A child will have a fever. The fever is treated with aspirin. The child immediately gets much better. Next day or the next gets worse again. Fever goes up again. Fever may go up to 105 or 106. At that time, the child begins to complain of general symptoms of feeling very bad. He begins to get stuporous, sinks into coma, and a large percentage of these children die, from 40 to 70% in some series. Those who live, sometimes you would prefer that they had died because many times they don't speak again. A colleague of mine, a young family practice physician who went into medicine because he was in my college class at Columbus University in anatomy and physiology, he had been registered to go into business. But he did so well in my anatomy and physiology class that I persuaded him to change his major from business administration to medicine. He went into medicine, went into practice in Columbus, Georgia, married a local girl, and set up his practice and his home there in Columbus, Georgia, had several children. His little 8-year-old girl had a fever one day in the early 70s. He gave her some aspirin. I guess it was the mid-70s. That was the last time she ever spoke to her father. And from time to time, I see her lying. She's lying in a nursing home where she has lain for the last 8 years, not able to speak or walk or feed herself. Her life was destroyed. As I mentioned, it is a devastating disease. I feel that every parent and every grandparent and everyone who has to do with children should know that Reye's disease is suspected of being caused or at least associated with the administration of aspirin so that we can avoid giving aspirin in fevers. Aspirin in fevers can work against you. Aspirin does a number of unwanted things. As you know, in the adult, it can alter the clotting of the blood. Do you know that aspirin can also reduce the activity of brain waves? That means that it interferes in the central nervous system in the way that we think or in the way that thoughts are processed in the brain. Aspirin does quite a lot of unwanted things. It breaks the mucus barrier in the stomach and can increase the likelihood of getting peptic ulcer. It can also increase the likelihood that you will suffer from an allergen if you have a food sensitivity. One young man had a sensitivity to peanuts. He took an aspirin and then ate some peanuts. He ate some food that had peanuts in it and was almost lost. His blood pressure went down to zero almost immediately. He fainted. His respirations were quite shallow and very irregular. He was rushed to the hospital and after 3 days was pulled through, but it was very shaky for a while. The reason that he had such an intense reaction was that the aspirin caused an inflammation of the intestinal tract. The inflamed surfaces could accept more of the antigen, in this case peanuts, and he had an intense reaction because of taking the aspirin before he was exposed to his antigen. So let us remember that in allergic people and keep them also from taking aspirin. I am very much opposed to the taking of aspirin, as you may have guessed by now. Now I'd like to tell you what you should do for a fever. If you do not take aspirin or do not give aspirin to a child for a fever, what can you do for children with fever? It is a very simple thing. You should give the child a hot bath. If the fever is under 103, give them quite an intense hot bath, maybe at 105 or 106 degrees, the bath water, that is. If their temperature is already 104 or 105, then give them a hot bath, but at a lower temperature than their body temperature is. Give it to them, say, at 102 or 103. It is still a hot bath. This will bring the blood to the surface of the body, which reverses the heat conservation mechanism. You may be aware that when we raise a fever, there are certain mechanisms in the body that join together in what we call heat conservation. Now, most of us right now are in a state of heat conservation, more or less. The more intense your heat conservation, the more you will have these various things that I'm about to describe to happen. One thing is that we begin to breathe more shallowly. That is, so that we won't breathe off so much heat. Second thing is that the blood starts going internally in the body so that we don't have as much blood in the hands and feet or any part of the skin. So if you feel the face or the hands of a person with a fever, their hands may feel actually cooler than yours. This is not a good place to test a person for a fever. Back of the neck may be, or under the arms, or on the abdomen. All of those are fairly good places for you to check to see if a person has a fever. Another thing that happens to an individual who is raising a fever or who is intensifying his heat conservation is that of goosebumps. And just by raising goosebumps all over the body, a person can raise his body temperature a degree and a half in half an hour just by that one thing alone. We also tighten up muscles when we're in heat conservation. We can do myographic studies of the body, and this can let us see that the individual is tightening his muscles. Now, all of these things, just by shivering for half an hour, you can raise your body temperature by a degree and a half, and all of these things will be reversed if we put a person in a hot bath. They will take a big sigh, begin breathing deeply, they relax in the tub, all the goosebumps go down, the blood comes out to the surface, and the skin gets quite flushed. In fact, the skin may get so flushed that the individual will feel faint if he stands up because he has brought so much blood from the interior of the body to the exterior of the body. And by doing so, he has made it so that his core blood pressure falls. And that, by the way, is one of the treatments for high blood pressure, is giving a hot bath. Not too hot, but just nicely hot so that the person can pink up the skin. That will invariably bring the blood pressure down. And it will almost invariably bring a fever down. It is a rare thing that a fever fails to come down if you give a brief hot bath. Now the rule for the length of time for a child who is from birth to 3 years is 3 minutes. Thereafter, it is 1 minute for each year of their age. A five-year-old child would be kept in the bath for five minutes. A 10-year-old child for 10 minutes. An adult for about 20 minutes. Now that you know how to treat a fever, let's take some of the diseases in this book, Natural Remedies. Turn, please, to the table of contents, which is the third page in the book. And you'll see the alphabetical listing of a variety of diseases. Let us take first acne. This is described on page 1, and you will see that stress is involved in acne. Also, the cleansing of the skin is important in acne. Cosmetics and lotions may be a factor in acne. The type of clothing that the person has. Cotton is better than the synthetics for an individual who has acne. If pimples and blackheads are squeezed, they should be squeezed with a special type of pimple extractor which you can purchase from a pharmacy. Then such things as not putting the hands on the face. Food sensitivities. On page 2, you will see food sensitivities to milk, chocolates, nuts, peanut, egg. These are all common offenders. Notice item 10, salt restriction may be beneficial to the individual with acne. One of the reasons for that is that the salt tends to thicken the secretions. The thickened secretions in the skin can be rather difficult for the person who has acne to push out onto the surface of the skin. You will see a fat-free diet, which has been found for many acne sufferers to be very helpful. Golden Seal tea compresses. Golden Seal tea is an astringent, and if you use this as a compress for acne, many people will find that they get a very good benefit from that. There are several other things that you can do for the sufferer with acne, and these are all listed there on that page. Now I would like to tell you about how to treat angina. Angina is the uncomfortable feeling that a person has in the chest who has a reduced blood flow to his heart. The person with angina often feels his pressure or problem in the chest when he is walking upstairs or just walking fast. He may feel it when he is angry or having any kind of intense emotion. The angina patient can be cured, I believe, perhaps in all instances. We have certainly found it true in all instances. Even people who have been on nitroglycerin for years, when they come to our institute, they are often cured, they are off their nitroglycerin, and free from angina pain within 2 to 5 weeks. Within the last year, there have been perhaps 40 or 50 cases reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association, treated in the same way that we treat our patient. And all of them, with the kind of treatment that we use, were cured. We believe that it almost invariably is a cure. Now let me just describe what we do. Number one is that we take the patient off of all animal protein. All animal protein. Meat, milk, eggs, and cheese. No animal protein of any kind. The second thing that we do is to keep them off fats. That would be margarine and all butters having free fat in them. Mayonnaise, salad dressings, fried foods, cooking fats, and salad oils. All of these would be totally eliminated, all free fats. And the high nut fats would also be reduced, such things as pecans and cashews, because of their very high fat content, would be reduced in quantity so that the person was not taking much of anything with a high fat content in it naturally, and no free fats at all. Then one other thing that we do is teaching the person how to walk through the angina. Now the way that we do that is this. We simply have the person to start walking. He walks with his angina until he begins to feel his chest pain. And then we tell him to slow down. Don't stop, just slow down. Slow down to the point that the pain stops. When the pain stops, then start increasing the pace until the person has increased it to the point that he can just maintain his walk pain-free. And usually, if you will do these three things, persons with angina will be free from anginal pain within a matter of just a few weeks. We had one man who came to Yuchi Pines with severe angina. He could not even reach over to pick up a broom. His family did everything for him. He had severe angina. This was his condition when he came to Yuchi Pines. The day that he left Yuchi Pines, 9 weeks later, he dug a trench across, a little trench about a foot deep and about 15 feet long across the bottom of the garden. He also walked rather rapidly up a very steep hill at Yuchi Pines, back from his 8 mile walk at a brisk pace. We have also had several people with what is called claudication. That claudication is lameness, leg pain in other words, resulting from inadequate blood supply to the lower extremities. Claudication affects men far more than it does women, and individuals with this kind of lameness can be treated in exactly the same way as those with angina, with marvelous results. We have had several patients, both angina patients as well as claudication patients, who were scheduled for surgery, for bypass procedures, who are still, after many years of being on this same kind of routine, still free from pain, still putting off their surgery. All right, let's take the next thing, and that is aphthous ulcers. This is canker sores. These occur inside the mouth, on the inside, on the tongue, on the lining of the mouth, in the gutter of the gums, and so forth. These little canker sores are the bane of the life of some people. And I'm going to tell you a very nice little remedy that if you will do this little remedy, it will prevent most canker sores, if not all of them, from occurring. The person who is prone to get canker sores knows when they're going to come. They feel back there, feel a little roughness in the back of the mouth, feel a little discomfort and tenderness. They know that the canker sore is about to be born. And they're very sorry about it because often they're very tender, make it so that the person cannot talk or eat properly. And the thing to do is so simple. At the time that you feel the very first indication that a canker sore might develop day after tomorrow, at that time, start with 1 glass of water every 10 minutes for an hour. Now that is such an important remedy, and we use it for several things, and I would like to have each of you to learn that little prescription. I will say it again, and then you repeat it after me. 1 glass of water every 10 minutes for an hour. Everybody together. 1 glass of water every 10 minutes for an hour. 3 parts to this little prescription. You're already becoming physicians. You know a very good prescription. Aphthous ulcers are not fever blisters. Fever blisters are treated another way, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But let me tell you the last part of how to treat an aphthous ulcer if you neglect it and it goes ahead and develops. What you do is to purchase some Golden Seal tea bags. Get the bags. Take one of the bags and make a cup of tea. Drink the hot tea after about 10 to 15 minutes when the tea bag has steeped long enough. You have the cup of hot tea there. Sip the tea and let it bathe across the area where you have the canker sore. Use it as a mouthwash, but you may drink the tea. Take the whole cup full. Save the used tea bag. You're going to use it. What you do is this. When it is time for you to go to bed, take the little tea bag and put it right in the mouth, right up against the little ulcer, between the ulcer and some other structures in your mouth. It will usually stay right in place by being lodged between the two structures. And then let the little tab hang out. If you are afraid you might swallow it during the night, you won't swallow it. And if you're especially fearful of it, just tape it over on the side of your cheek with a little piece of scotch tape. And that will enable you to go to sleep without worrying about it. But you won't swallow it. It's too large for you to swallow. The next morning, because of the astringent action of the Golden Seal tea, astringent means that it draws tissue together like this. Because of the astringent action, your canker sore will be better. Don't forget to treat it also with lots of water. Now, the treatment of a canker sore, the one glassful of water every 10 minutes for an hour is only for the first hour. After that, it's one glassful every second hour until you are certain that you are well hydrated or until your canker sore is healed. You see, one of the big causes of canker sores is that of dehydration. And the structures inside of the mouth become so frictionable that they develop sufficient friction to simply rub off a little of the interior of the lining of the mouth, and that causes the beginning of a canker sore. Now let's take a fever blister. People who are given to getting fever blisters know when they're developing. They occur right here on the border of the glabrous portion of the lip, that is the portion without hair, and the hairy portion of the skin of the lip. Right at the border, that's where a fever blister usually develops. People who get them often, they know when they're getting them because this little discomfort and burning occurs right down here at the place where the fever blister is going to occur. At that moment, and simple remedies should always be applied at the earliest possible moment, our Heavenly Father has given us symptoms to alert us that tissue is about to be injured. Therefore, when you know that you have this symptom, don't ignore it. Consider it to be a message from heaven saying tissue is about to be injured. So when you feel this little burning and discomfort here on the edge of the lip, go get an ice cube. You can pick it up with a washcloth so that you won't freeze your hand, and just hold it right on the little place where the fever blister is going to develop. Hold it for 45 to 90 minutes, taking it off as you get so you can't tolerate it anymore, but it doesn't feel as bad as you might think it would. Hold it there for 45 to 90 minutes and the fever blister will not develop. Now, if you neglect it and the fever blister develops, then what you should do is cold and hot applications alternating with each other. Start with the hot for 5 to 6 minutes, then cold for 1 minute. Alternating this for about 20 minutes, and you can do that 4 times a day. This will assist in the healing, but it is far better to prevent it than it is to cure it. Next thing is that of asthma. And I wonder if I could have the young man in the fourth row to come up and be my assistant here. Would you mind coming up and being my assistant? If you just come right up this way and face the back wall. Now, asthma has two portions to its treatment. One portion to the treatment is that of the treatment between acute attacks. That means you must try to eliminate the cause of asthma. And we have a lot of that kind of thing mentioned in the book. You will find a number of those kinds of suggestions. Most cases of asthma can be quite nicely taken care of, controlled, by just doing the things that are listed there. Taking care of dust and animals in the person's environment and foods and all of this kind of thing. But let us say we have a person who has an acute attack of asthma. There are several things that you can do at home to try to abort the attack and make it so that the person does not have a really severe acute attack. One thing is to help the person to produce more adrenaline. Adrenaline is what he will be given, maybe what is given if he is taken to the emergency room. How do you do that? Well, what you do is just to locate the waist. Here is the waist right here, and the inferior border of the scapula or the shoulder blade, and here it is right here. Halfway in between, but near to the spine, is the upper pole of the kidney. One finger breadth above that is the adrenal. So you're going to want to put your treatment to that. Now, if you will take your hand like this, just cup it, and I would like for you to do this so that you can practice it, and just hit your thigh like that, and make a hollow sound with it. That's right. Now that is called cupping, and that's what you want to do on the back. And it's quite a sharp blow, and ordinarily you have your patient to lean against a wall or hang on to the bedpost or something like that, but I will just trust to his being a strong young man and hope that I won't bowl him over. He's getting a little worried, I can see. And all you do is this. It's quite a sharp blow, something like that. And then rub it just a little bit, and it should make that hollow sound. The hollow sounding cupping does better for the person than a slapping sound. And of course you do the same thing on the opposite side. It's quite a sharp blow, maybe just a little bit sharper than I did that. And if you think that you haven't done it quite enough, you can do it a second time, but don't do it too many times. Then there is another little massage stroke. That first one was a massage stroke. This next one is too. Take your own hand and just make it flop back and forth, using the wrist as a sort of piston. Just back and forth like this. Now, the same place over the adrenals, you just tap the person. This is called tapotement. Alternating your two hands. And then you rub it just a little because it makes the skin sting. Do the same thing on the other side. And then rub it just a little bit. And I think that the person should be able to produce a little adrenaline from that. And this young man should not sleep during the rest of the meeting. I don't think he was before. Okay, you can go back. Thank you. Because he will be producing a little adrenaline. That's a very nice remedy for the person who has asthma. A lady told me one time about buying our book, Home Remedies. She took it home and put it on the shelf. She had looked it over just a little bit and saw that there was a treatment for asthma in it. About 2 weeks later, her sister sent her little 5-year-old son and her two other children to her home to spend a couple of weeks. The 5-year-old son had asthma. And unfortunately, the mother forgot to send the medicine for the asthma with the 5-year-old. So there they were, first day, and they said to each other, "What will we do if he has an asthma attack?" So they said, "Well, maybe he won't have an asthma attack during these 2 weeks." First night, 11 o'clock at night, patter, 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 came little feet down to the parents' bedroom, and he said, "Aunt Jane, I can't breathe." Oh, an asthma attack. What are we going to do? The husband said, "Well, there's only one thing we can do. Let's get that book and see if anything in it will help us to treat the asthma." So they got the book out, read there about the application of hot tacks to the back over the adrenal area, followed by cold, repeat alternating this several times, and by 11:40, took them a little while to get the packs heated up, by 11:40 the child was asleep again, slept all night. Next morning he came down to breakfast. He said, "Aunt Jane, that treatment you gave me last night works faster than my medication does." We find this often, that the simple remedy is very effective, is more effective, works faster than does the traditional treatment. Now, it is a fact that many times it works more slowly. That is all right, too. Just wait for the remedy to work. Asthma should be treated also by removing dairy products from the diet of the individual, since tryptophan in dairy products constricts blood vessels, constricts bronchi. It also constricts blood vessels. The constriction of the bronchi is what makes the asthma much worse. All right, let's take the next one, athlete's foot. Athlete's foot can be very nicely treated by rubbing the feet briskly with a coarse towel just after you have taken a shower every day. Every time you take a shower, rub the feet briskly, rub the toenails briskly, between the toes, rub that briskly, rub off all the dead skin from your feet. You will notice that the dead skin sort of rolls up a little bit, especially when you first start doing this. Second thing, paint the surfaces of your feet with a little vinegar. Any kind of vinegar, just that kind that you get down from the A&P, that will do very nicely. Just wet a little cotton pledget and just rub it over it nicely, and then put your stockings on. Don't dry it after that. Just make it such a light application that you can just let it dry. Then put your stockings on, and you will never get athlete's foot if you will do that. If you already have athlete's foot, you can cure it by doing that every day. Also, if you have a fungus nail, fungus nails are notoriously difficult to treat, and with the simple remedies, that is no exception. It is very difficult to treat. But if you will scrape the nail, the fungus nail, scrape it down as far as you can, right down to the quick if you can, trim off all of that is dead and loose, and it usually is loose from the nail bed, trim that off down as far as you can to the point where it is attached to the nail bed, and then scrape the rest of it with a sharp instrument like scissors or a knife until it is almost down to the quick every day, and especially right at first, if you will start painting it 4 times a day with a little vinegar, little by little, the fungus nail will grow out pink, and you will be quite pleased with how this simple remedy can help the fungus nail. Backache. Backache is a very interesting one, and I wonder if I could get a volunteer to help me to demonstrate backache. Would you mind being my subject again? All right, just step right up here. And if you would not mind facing this wall, but measure back from the wall about 2 feet and put your toes on the 2 foot line right about there. Now put your hands on the wall in front of you, shoulder height, separated widely. That's right. Now with your heels flat on the floor, put your chest right on the wall. That's it. Heels flat on the floor. Now this is a this is a nice remedy for the backache. This helps the low back. It also helps the upper back to some degree. But let's ask him where he feels the greatest pull. Now you can push up. Where did you feel the greatest pull? Yes, it was in the calf muscles. Wasn't in the back at all. All right. This lets you know a second thing that you can treat with this simple thing that he just did. Have the patient who has the backache or leg cramps. Have the patient lean into a wall 10 seconds, then push out for 5 and repeat that 3 times. Do that 3 times a day for 30 days and it will abolish leg cramps at night. And I have a little more I want to tell you about leg cramps, but I'll show you the rest of the, this little exercise and then let him sit down so that he can take notes if he would like. All right, now turn to the side, face the back wall. Also, this is done from the 2 foot mark, but with carpets and with leather sole shoes, he might not be able to do it, so you can step a little closer to the wall if you would like. That's good. Now, this time, put one hand, the hand closest to you, on the wall. Oh, that's good. Now, lean your hip into the wall. That's right, right against the wall. That's good. Now, this is done also from the 2 foot mark. It is held for 10 seconds. You push away for 5. Repeat it 3 times, putting the hip right against the wall. All right, push away and turn the opposite direction. Now do it. Put the other hip right against the wall. Again, it is held for 10 seconds. Repeat it 3 times. That's good. You can push away now. And this little exercise is good for the backache, but it is also good for sciatica. Sciatica is a pain somewhere in the seat or in the thigh. Sometimes it's a little difficult for the person to pinpoint exactly where it is. It radiates down the thigh, sometimes goes all the way down to the foot. Sciatica can be disabling. The person can get to the point that he can't walk with it just because of pain. The treatment for sciatica is to walk. Even though it is painful, try to twist the leg or twist the back in such a way that you do not get the pain if you can. And then this little treatment for the sciatica, this little stretching of the pelvis done 3 times a day for 60 days will relieve most people of sciatica. It only takes 30 minutes, 30 seconds, 3 times a day to do the little exercise. This little exercise is also very good for women, for young women who have painful menstruation. Painful menstruation will be relieved if a young lady will do this exercise for 90 days, 3 times a day. More than 80% of women will be greatly relieved by this simple stretching exercise. Now, would you back up to the wall, just a couple of inches, heels a couple of inches away from the wall, and then start sitting down slowly. Sit down slowly. Flattening the back against the wall, right on down, right on down, a little bit farther, a little bit farther, so that the thighs are almost, but not quite, perpendicular to the floor. A little bit further. That's it, about right there. All right? Now hold that. To hold this for about 27 seconds is about the limit of what an American can do. Most of us don't have strong enough thigh muscles. Our quadriceps are not that good. The quadriceps is the muscle on the front of the thigh. All right, you can stand up. Thank you very much. You can return to your seat. This little exercise, this last one, is good for the backache, as are all of these, all four of these. This one is also good for weak quadriceps muscles. Anyone having weak quadriceps muscles can try this little exercise several times a day, and it will strengthen the quadriceps muscles. If a person has his leg in a cast, this is a good exercise to do to strengthen that muscle. Next item is that of bad breath. Much of bad breath is caused simply by dehydration. If the person who has bad breath will take one glass of water every 10 minutes for an hour, it will eliminate most cases of bad breath, merely by the fact that the internal mechanism of cleansing the mouth is activated by that. We were designed that the mouth should be constantly cleansed and refreshed by an abundant supply of saliva. But if we get dehydrated, then we cannot undergo this cleansing of the mouth, and consequently we may develop some degree of bad breath. Food trapped between the teeth and decaying is another common cause of mouth odor. Brushing with a soft bristle brush, soft bristle toothbrush, a small one, and also using dental floss after each meal will eliminate a large proportion of bad breath. Now let's say the person has periodontal disease or pyorrhea. Then that soft bristle toothbrush should be moistened, dipped in powdered charcoal. And the powdered charcoal used with a little jiggling motion, and by the way, that's the way everyone should wash the teeth, brush the teeth, angle the toothbrush at the angle between the teeth and the gums, just like this. And that little jiggling motion of the toothbrush at the angle of the teeth with the gums is good for ordinary cleansing, and if used with charcoal, can be healing to the person who has pyorrhea or periodontal disease. We had a man attending one of our meetings in Canada. He stood up during the meeting and asked, when my helper was describing about charcoal, he asked if we had any remedy for the treatment of pyorrhea. He said he was scheduled the following week to get a full mouth extraction and full sets of dentures, uppers and lowers. Although most of his teeth were sound, he was losing them because of the periodontal disease. So he asked if we had any simple remedy for that. I told him this about drinking plenty of water and brushing the teeth with charcoal every day and using dental floss after each meal. He went his way, and of course, I came back to the States. I didn't see him anymore. I didn't expect to ever see him again. But about 2 years later, I was again in Canada lecturing in another city. During the time that the young lady was describing about charcoal, this man stood up in the back of the audience, raised his hand, and asked to speak. He said, 2 years ago, I talked with members of your team on how to treat my pyorrhea. I was scheduled to have a full mouth extraction the following week. I decided I would give charcoal a trial. I tried it for about 3 months, and my pyorrhea completely disappeared. And I want you to see that I still have my teeth. And he gave us a big Ipana-type of smile and showed us that he still had all of his teeth after 2 years. We have had several people who have entirely cured the periodontal disease by just using this kind of treatment that I've just described. You will find many things on page 22 of this little book on the treatment of bad breath. Next is bedwetting. And I would like to tell you just about one thing with bedwetting. Bedwetting is often associated with a food sensitivity in children. And if you will identify the food sensitivities of children, you will often discover that within a matter of a week, a child who has been wetting the bed nightly will have a dry bed. In my experience, eggs and citrus fruits and milk have been most involved in bedwetting. There are other things, but these are most often involved. Skip down a number until you get to cystitis. Cystitis is painful urination or frequency and urgency. Women have it a lot, and little boys. In children, boys have it more than girls. Of adults, women have it more than men. Cystitis will most often be cured by a glass full of water every 10 minutes for an hour. Most women do not need antibiotics for cystitis. The treatment of choice is to start with an hour of the treatment that you already know. A second thing in the treatment of cystitis is to warm the feet. In Germany, they diagnose cystitis as cold feet cystitis. And most women do have cold feet most of the time. And if they remove this impediment to good health of the pelvis, it will make much of pelvic discomfort of many kinds go away. Cold feet, cold extremities of any kind are incompatible with the best of health. I will state it another way. It is impossible for a woman whose extremities are habitually chilled to be in the best of health. Cold feet cystitis. I skipped bronchitis, and I want to go back to that. Bronchitis is a cough. A cough can be nicely treated with a glass full of water every 10 minutes for an hour. So don't forget that nice little remedy. Colic. Colic in infants. Colic in infants is much more common in bottle-fed babies than in breastfed babies. And we recommend that a Herculean effort be put forth to breastfeed a baby. If there is any one thing that I could consider myself to be campaigning on, I would think it would be breastfeeding of infants. There are so many diseases of infants and disorders of adults that had their origin in formula feeding in infancy. Breast milk is as specific for the species as is the fingerprint for the individual. When a child has breast milk, human breast milk is high in taurine and glycine, two amino acids which promote brain cell growth. Cow's milk is low or devoid of both of those. These amino acids are not needed for a calf because his little brain is not going to ever develop to be very large. But a human brain must develop quite large. And so to do that, our divine designer gave us glycine and taurine in mother's milk to encourage the growth of brain cells. In studies that have been done comparing the IQ of individuals of the same socioeconomic level and the same sex in those who breastfed as compared to those who did not breastfeed, it has been shown that about 5 points of IQ higher levels occur in those that have been breastfed than in those that have been formula fed. I am campaigning for breastfeeding of infants. But let's say your infant gets the colic, and occasionally a breastfed infant will get the colic. How do you treat it? One nice little remedy. There are several given in the book, but I'd like to tell you just one. Put the baby in an infant seat. Strap it in nicely. Set the infant seat on your washing machine and do your washing. The little jarring and motion, as well as the heat that comes up, will soothe the baby, and the baby will stop crying immediately with the colic. Very nice treatment. Now I'd like to tell you a remedy for the hiccups. Most of you are aware that if you have the hiccups, you can drink a glass of cool water. Keep on drinking until your hiccups go away. Most cases of hiccups will be cured by that. Some people can cure their hiccups by holding their breath. Did you know that you could cure many cases of hiccups by just balling your fist, pressing it into the epigastrium like this, and pushing it in with the other hand? Hold it there for a minute or two or three, and most cases of hiccups will respond to that. Some people will have their hiccups to respond to just bending over for a long period of time, maybe for a minute or two. So if you can do some kind of work in the bending over position, that will often cure your hiccups. But I'd like to tell you another remedy for the hiccups, and it is this. Take a hand mirror and open your mouth and look back there and identify the uvula. The uvula is that little finger-shaped device that hangs down from the soft palate. Take a spoon handle and move the uvula over to one side for a few seconds, and it's a sure cure for the hiccups. It never fails. Your phrenic nerve gets so interested in what you're doing there for the uvula that it forgets to make the diaphragm contract. Very nice little remedy. The next thing I'd like to tell you about is that of warts and how to cure the warts. If a child has warts or an adult, go down to the pharmacy and get some waterproof tape. Tear off a piece of waterproof tape and put it around the wart. Let it stay for about 6.5 to 7 days. Take it off, and then scrape the wart with a fingernail just as vigorously as you can. Try to get all of the wart off right down to the quick if you're able. Then many cases will need to have another week of treatment. Put on some more waterproof tape for another week, and at the end of that time, remove the tape and again go through the scraping action. Most people will not know when their warts go away, but usually within the next month, most warts treated in that way will disappear. Now I wonder if any of you have any questions. We'll take your questions right now if you have any questions. Back here.
Well, fever, putting them in hot water, isn't it a standard procedure anymore to give them ice cold wraps?
All right, the question is, isn't it standard procedure in hospitals anymore to give cold wraps to babies having fevers? Many hospitals are changing to hot wraps or to hot baths. Many pediatricians are changing to this also. It is still used in many hospitals, but it is the allopathic rather than the homeopathic remedy for fevers. And in this case, we will work with the body's own mechanisms if we use the hot bath. Any other question? Yes?
That one respiratory that you keep there on the wall, mm-hmm. Can you do that if you have a curvature on the bottom of your spine?
Question is, can you do the stretching exercise if you have a curvature of the spine? Yes, you may do all of those. Don't hurt your spine. Stand close enough to the wall so that you know that you're not injuring yourself. Then day by day, increase your stretching just a little bit, but it should not hurt you at all. Back here.
Do you have a remedy for nausea during pregnancy?
Question is about nausea during pregnancy. Nausea during pregnancy is often due to two food items. One is free fats. If one removes free fats, that would be all butters. All butters containing any kind of free fats or unctuous material, mayonnaise, salad oils, salad dressing, fried foods, and cooking fats. Second thing of foods causing nausea in pregnancy is milk. And if a pregnant woman does not use milk, then she needs to use three other things. She can get all the nutrients from milk from three foods: greens, whole grains, and legumes. That's all a cow eats in order to put the nutrients in milk that she puts in milk. So if a person will eat the same things that the cow eats, the person should be able to get all the nutrients. So the pregnant woman should make certain that she does get these foods if she does not take milk. Now, let's say she does both of those things and she still has nausea. There are still several things that you can do. If you would like to write to me and send an addressed envelope and a dollar and ask for our counseling sheet on nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, we'll be happy to send you our counseling sheet, which has a number of remedies on it. We do not have it in our books. Okay? Any other question? Yes?
Would whacking the adrenal area help with allergies?
Question is, would whacking the adrenal areas help with allergies? Yes, it does help with allergies, especially with hay fever types, because in hay fever, you know, we have erectile tissue in the nose, very similar to that in the genital area and in the nipples, and the irritation from the allergic reaction causes a constriction of the blood vessels, which causes a backing up of blood, and it is this thing that causes the nose to stop up. Now, if a person releases this constriction by, say, adrenaline, it is just like opening the floodgates, and the nose will open up immediately. It will open up in a matter of 10 seconds. So this little remedy can be... What is that? Low blood sugar have to do with allergies? Yes. The same kind of stresses that weaken the immune system also cause or result from the hypoglycemic syndrome. Now, the hypoglycemic syndrome is not a simple disorder of eating sugar, blood sugar goes high, insulin is released into the bloodstream, and blood sugar comes down. This does occur, but it isn't. There is much more to it than just that. Some other things are allergies. Other things are emotional problems, both that result from and that cause this or intensify the hypoglycemic syndrome. The hypoglycemic syndrome is a total nutrient disorder. It is not just sugars or free carbohydrates. It is also fats and proteins. These are all involved. And especially it is involving water. Many of these sinking spells that people have when they have the hypoglycemic syndrome will be relieved in just a few minutes by taking water, a glass full of water every 10 minutes for an hour. And most of these cases will just perk up, just like putting a flower that has wilted in water. These people will just perk up so nicely. One of the reasons for these sinking feelings is an acute dehydration because of water shifts, very similar to this that we described in the nose. Other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the cobalt is never considered to develop.
Okay.
And I know milk products is something I should avoid, which I'm going to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But is there other products I could do that would help? Because I get, like, one side of my nose, I'll be able to breathe real good, and the other side is locked up. And I've had this all my life.
All right. The question is about allergies. And sinusitis, chronic sinusitis, is an allergic condition until it is proven to be due to something else. And even though the sinus may not be well developed congenitally, as you mentioned, the sinuses are also as specific as the fingerprint. And we can take x-rays. They are identifiable as that person's sinuses. So you may have one that is small that may get filled or plugged more easily than, say, another person would. But even so, you can treat it and should be able to handle things without having chronic sinusitis. So in the syllabus that you have on page 20, you will see a list of foods that are most often involved in allergies and sinusitis. Notice that milk is at the top of the list. Milk causes 60% of all food sensitivities, hands down. So if a person has any kind of allergy or food sensitivity, including an allergy to air pollutants, if you know that your sinusitis or hay fever is due to pollens in the air, you still should check yourself for food sensitivities. And milk is a good place to start. Leave off milk, and usually within a matter of just a few days, the individual shows a clearing of his sinusitis. So we always start there, but it may be any other thing. Notice that the caffeinated beverage group is second. That would include coffee, tea, colas, and chocolate. Citrus fruits and juices are third. We recommend that babies not be given citrus fruits and juices until after they are a year of age. This will keep many people from developing sensitivities to citrus fruits. And then all of the others are included on this list. They can all be removed from the diet, and this can help the person with the chronic sinusitis. Notice the symptoms of food sensitivities at the bottom of this page. It is quite a list, including respiratory symptoms. Well, our time is up. I've enjoyed presenting the topic for you on simple remedies, and I hope that what we have covered is going to be of eternal benefit to you. I'd like to have a benediction with you. May we stand, please, for our benediction. Loving Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with gratitude to Thee for giving us bodies that can be so beautifully healed, that can be protected from disease by the proper attention to the laws upon which we have been designed. I pray that each person here may receive Thy blessing of good health, and in cases of sickness, may understand, may have the wisdom to apply the simple remedies to initiate the turning on of the internal mechanisms of healing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know that your sinusitis or hay fever is due to pollens in the air, you still should check yourself for food sensitivities. And milk is a good place to start. Leave off milk, and usually within a matter of just a few days, the individual shows a clearing of his sinusitis. So we always start there. But it may be any other thing. Notice that the caffeinated beverage group is second. That would include coffee, tea, colas, and chocolate. Citrus fruits and juices are third. We recommend that babies not be given citrus fruits and juices until after they are a year of age. This will keep many people from developing sensitivities to citrus fruits. And then all of the others are included on this list. They can all be removed from the diet, and this can help the person with the chronic sinusitis. Notice the symptoms of food sensitivities at the bottom of this page. It is quite a list, including respiratory symptoms. Well, our time is up. I've enjoyed presenting the topic for you on simple remedies, and I hope that what we have covered is going to be of eternal benefit to you. I'd like to have a benediction with you. May we stand, please, for our benediction. Loving Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with gratitude to Thee for giving us bodies that can be so beautifully healed, that can be protected from disease by the proper attention to the laws upon which we have been designed. I pray that each person here may receive thy blessing of good health, and in cases of sickness, may understand, may have the wisdom to apply the simple remedies to initiate the turning on of the internal mechanisms of healing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been an American Cassette Ministries production in association with Dr. Agatha Thrash. Copyright 1984, all rights reserved. Unauthorized reproduction of this recording in any form is prohibited by federal law and subject to criminal prosecution. For additional copies of this outstanding cassette or other cassettes or books by Dr. Thrash, or for information regarding UT Pines Institute and its various programs, please write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, zip 17108. In a hurry, dial our nationwide toll-free Watts line, 1-800-233-4450. American Cassette Ministries, a non-profit corporation helping prepare America to meet Jesus Christ.
To start our next session, and I would like to talk with you some more about simple remedies and how they work in the home. I would like to talk with you about such things as blood pressure and other more serious illnesses of this nature, things that are life-threatening or that can threaten certain parts of the body. One thing I would like to talk with you about is that of the shingles. Shingles, many of you are probably familiar with them. Shingles generally start with a little crop of blisters. Then, after some days of discomfort and pain, can dry up and be followed by what we call postherpetic neuralgia. Postherpetic neuralgia is pain in the area where the person had the shingles, pain that may last for some years, actually. The pain can be disabling, to the point that the person thinks that he or she is going to die. And often this is a woman. This kind of pain, or shingles pain, if it is on the trunk somewhere, since very light stroking of the skin causes just a cascading of pain, what you can do for these individuals is to buy a snug-fitting bodysuit and put it on the individual so that it fits snug up against the skin, so that when something rubs on it, it rubs against the clothing and not against the skin itself. And that prevents this problem with postherpetic neuralgia. Now, in dealing with shingles, the most serious kind of shingles is that kind of shingles that a person has in the eye. If it is on the eyelid or about the eye, it can be extremely painful. It can ruin the life. It can also ruin the eye, and often it does. Ruin the eye causes blindness and causes an atrophy of the eye. And we have a living example with us this afternoon of a person who was healed of that kind of shingles. And I would like for Dr. and Mrs. Piper, she was the one who had the shingles, and he also knows something about it. And I wonder if they would come up here and talk and just tell you about the thing that they experienced, just how it came about.
Thank you, Dr. Thrash. In May of this year, 1984, I started out with a headache on a Saturday night, the last Saturday night of April. On Tuesday, I continued to have a headache. On Tuesday, the following Tuesday, I broke out with blisters on my forehead. And I said to my husband, I said, "Have you ever heard of a headache breaking out?" And he said, "I sure have. Let me look at you." So he took a look at me and he says, "You've got shingles." Well, I functioned for the next week. I crawled in bed crying the next Saturday night. That was just 1 week after the headache started. I broke out with blisters so that I just had to pat my face constantly because I had the shingles. It followed the nerve up to the crown of my head and around to my eye and my ear. I have pictures of myself. And
can I just show these?
Sure, they can look at them. I don't know if they can see them from up here. Anyway, it was extremely painful. I felt as though somebody was beating me on the forehead with a baseball bat. I also felt like someone was stripping tape off of a hairy arm. And at one point, at just one night, that was the Saturday night, or no, that was the Sunday night after I went to bed, it felt like a spike was being driven into the corner of my eye right here, one of these large spikes. At that time, I had to pant, you know, like the natural childbirth classes tell you to do when you're in severe pain. That's what I was doing. On Tuesday night, I had those pictures taken. That was a week after the blisters broke out. On Wednesday, a friend of mine, Della Heise, came to visit me, and she said, "Have you ever tried aloe vera plant for your shingles?" I said, "Della, this is a medical problem." Well, that's right. I was on Emprin 3 with codeine. I was on Demerol. I was still having pain. So I said, you know, I believe in natural remedies. And so I had an aloe vera plant in my kitchen window that I cut off inch by inch to use for burns on my fingers from the oven or the iron or whatever. And so I told my husband. So he went out to the kitchen window and got a leaf. And she said, just squeeze it all inside until it gets real juicy, and then squeeze all the contents of the leaf onto your shingles, which I did in 2 hours. Just 2 hours. I did not need any more pain medication. I am so thankful that the Lord has not left us here to suffer. He has given us things that are natural remedies, and that was beautiful. These two pictures here were taken the day after I started using the aloe vera plant. You can see that my eyes were both swollen shut. You can see that the scabs have started to form, which means the blisters were drying up. I was in bed for 2 weeks, but I was getting better that second week due to aloe vera plant. Do you know, when I went to bed that night, that was on a Saturday night, I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. You know, for us who are overweight, we do, I'm sure, you know, think, well, that's the way we're going to change some of our habits and our diet. I started reading Counsels on Diets and Foods, and I had read small passages occasionally in that book, Counsels on Diet and Foods. But do you know, I just finished it this week. I'm a slow reader. I've got a lot of other things to do, you know. And, of course, after I got out of the sick bed, I had to start running just like we all do every day with our regular activities. But I just finished that book, and I realize that God has created our bodies to live forever, to function forever. and to be able to move forever. But because of sin and because we have turned our back on the health message, we have suffered a great deal. So, since then, we have been on a 2-meal-a-day program. I have only had dessert, I think, twice since May, and I feel wonderful. I am so thankful. I have lost about 15 pounds. So hopefully, you know, this is a beginning, and I can only testify that God loves us. He wants us to have our minds clear, our bodies free of pain, so that we can witness and be ready for His coming.
Amen. Tell me, does the lady who told you about this remedy, does she have any regrets about this?
Oh my, no. She is very much into living the way the Lord wants us to live.
And what about your physician husband? What does he say about this?
Well, it's ironic, because within 4 weeks after she broke out with shingles, I had 3 more patients come in the office with shingles, of which I treated them all with aloe vera. They were all pain-free within 1 day, and they think I'm fantastic.
Well, that's a very good testimonial for Simple Remedies, isn't it?
It surely is.
Thank you for so publishing much. That book, because that's
very
where
good.
She got the information
well,
was from your Home Remedy book.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.